We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
This WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following.
AFCON 2010, where affiliates always attend for free. June 21st through 23rd in Denver. Make your plans now to be at the most affordable, informative, interactive trade show anywhere. Haven't made your plans to join us? Then it's time to act fast. We have secured a limited number of hotel rooms at the fabulous Hyatt Regency Convention Center Hotel, the official host hotel of AFCON 2010. Book your reservations at our exclusive AFCON 2010 special rate by going to bit.ly/cheap hotel. That's bit.ly/cheap hotel. These rooms are guaranteed to be sold out fast. Remember, AFCON 2010 is giving you 2 days of back-to-back sessions, keynote presentations, exhibit access, and incredible nighttime networking for free. Plus, we're giving you unbelievable room specials for a limited time. Book your rooms now by going to bit.ly/cheap hotel. AFCON 2010, the trade show that's free for all affiliates, June 21st through 23rd in Denver. Register today at AFFCOM2010.com. That's AFFCOM2010.com.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm is now in session.
Hello, and welcome to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is none other than the John Carcutt, Director of Organic Search for MediaWiz.
None other?
There is no one else, that's for sure.
What's going on up there in Canada?
Did I tell you
I'm actually coming up to Canada at the end of July, but I'm going to be over on Ontario side. I'm going to a classic rock music festival. I can't wait to get up there.
Who are you going to go see, like The Who and all that, or what?
I wish I had the list in front of me. It's like Leonard Skinner, Heart, Ted Nugent, Alice Cooper, Kansas. It's like all these great classic rock bands all in one weekend festival. I'm just dying to get there. Yeah,
you have to grow the mullet.
Yeah, I've got a hat with one built in. I'll probably wear.
Not exactly sure how the mullet connects, but it just seems to get feather the hair and, you know, all that fun stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be a good time. It's too bad you're on the other side of the continent, but
you can drive
over. Yeah. Well, last show we talked a bit about the Eric Enge interview with Matt Cutts, and there was a ton left we didn't get to. And we just actually tried to replay a bit of what we did last time because we weren't 100% sure what we covered. I crossed out most of it, but we apologize in advance if there's anything we quickly cover again. But we are going to leave start where we left off. So that was 302s, do not flow PR. So essentially that – it can't get much more straight than that, D, can you? That was something Matt Cutts said, that if you use a 302 redirect, which is often the case for advertisements, that does not flow PR, which is a good tip. I mean, like I was saying here in our notes, not a huge surprise, at least to SEO.
Yeah, it's one of those things we kind of knew, and we really did know, but it's like nice to hear it. So we have something to point to now if a client pushes back and says, what do you mean? We say, well, it says right here. Read this. Exactly.
And its clients love us for doing that.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Cutts said no. if we have to go to that range, we're really not that respected, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah, so that's important.
I actually ran across an instance this week where I'm recommending 302s for the first time, I think, in my career. I'm actually recommending someone do a 302 redirect instead of a 301. And it's just kind of a side note here that they're building a new site, and they have a front end and back end, and the back end is a secure banking system, and there's all kinds of legal regulations and structures and things they have to deal with. And they're building the back end first, but they have to put it on HTTPS. So in the meantime, they're asking, well, can we put our regular site on HTTPS too? Because it'd be a headache to have the two different ones while we're developing. And that's an instance, if they're going to put the main site on HTTPS temporarily, I said, yes, but we have to do 302 redirects instead of 301s. So when you switch it back to the normal, it's going to, you know, switch back much cleaner. You haven't lost all that weight. So I just found it interesting. I've been doing this forever, and it's the first time I actually found a really good use and where I recommended using 302s.
Excellent. Well, I was actually speaking at the BC Social Media Summit just two nights ago. It was great. It was a fundraiser for the Canadian Cancer Society, which is kind of a nice add-on to help out a bit. But one of the things I had to research, it was all about SEO and its applications to social media. My angle was, anyway. And I was looking into Facebook just out of curiosity. And again, this is no surprise to people who've already done this research, but I'm not a social media guy, so it was intriguing to me to find out that business pages on Google, all links on them going out, all external links going from your business page on Google outwards, this is Facebook, I should say, are all 302'd. So there's really not a lot of juice there. That sucks.
Yeah, Facebook is like a black hole. I mean, from an SEO standpoint and link building standpoint and API standpoint, what you can do with it from an external, it's a black hole. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff going on inside there, but none of it escapes.
The walled garden. I hate that it is, too. And the most user-unfriendly walled garden I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was intriguing. Now, that said, if we were all sitting around a table, would we really, like, as SEOs, and we're talking frankly, do we really believe that Google's going to treat those 100% as 302 still? You know, if you got a lot of links going out, they're going to go, this is from your Facebook business page. A lot of people are linking to it. You're linking off. We're going to say, okay, there's a certain amount of decay or not decay, but a certain amount of PR that's being passed.
That's true. I mean, the pages themselves are getting indexed, the business pages and profile pages and the groups, they're getting indexed, and in some cases you can get them ranked fairly well. So you're right. I mean, Google is handling these pages, and like Wikipedia or some of these other high-profile sites, they can say they're no-followed, they can say they're 302, but they're still going to deal with it. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I think that's probably why, in a lot of cases, Google just calls these hints.
Mm-hmm.
Because in certain circumstances, they don't really want to listen to, is it Zuckerberg with Facebook?
Zuckerberg, yeah.
Mark. You don't really want to listen to those guys who are trying to keep a walled garden. When they're exposing stuff, it's not like we're putting a 302 in them. They're forcing it on us. So you would think that Google would sort of nullify that to some degree. Yeah. That said, you know, if we're following the letter of the law, those links do not flow PR.
Have you seen a lot of people trying to use Facebook as a spam tool? I mean, because maybe it's a really good methodology for Facebook to help reduce people trying to use them to spam.
Yeah.
Because
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I haven't either. I haven't seen a lot of people using Facebook as a spamming tool. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right place. I'm sure it happens here and there. But
yeah, let's not give them any ideas.
Yes, I didn't say a thing.
Now, I'm fairly certain.
But I am taking notes.
I'm fairly certain we touched on this in the last time, but do you want to take the next one?
Oh, but the canonicals, the canonical tag. In the interview, Matt was kind of referencing, I don't know if it was Eric or Matt that was referencing, that canonicals people are using as, and this is a quote, a poor man's 301 redirect. So since they opened up, from what you tell me, Ross, even before they opened up the canonicals to cross-domain canonical consolidation, that once you can go cross-domain, people are using it as a 301 redirect. If they can't get and actually build or create real 301 redirects, they do the canonical tag, and it kind of it does the same thing.
Right. And you know what? That refreshed my memory that we did talk about this last time, so we should skip through this. But yeah, again, they're hints, not directives, and I thought that was important. Now, the one thing, we did touch on parameters last time, but I want to make sure, again, that this is noted. The ignore parameters setting in your Google Webmaster Tools is essentially a 301 of sorts. So if you're saying ignore this particular parameter, it's like a canonical. It's rooting that URL so that it now looks like the other one or so on.
But it's almost like a server side instead of a page side, correct? So
yeah.
They're doing it in their back end. You're not doing it on your front end.
Precisely. So between all of these tools, you can really whittle down any kind of duplicate content.
So
and again, there is no penalty for duplicate content. It's just, I guess the only penalty, quote unquote, is that the content doesn't get as much exposure. And
it's
that's
a it's a filter. It filters out too much content. If it's done wrong, you filter out stuff you don't want filtered out. If it's done correct, the stuff you want to show is the stuff it's going to show. But actually, it brings up a question, though, because during the same interview, there was, you know, everybody was talking about the fact that Matt said 301s, and we talked about this last time. You end up, your PR in a 301 is decayed over time or even more immediately. If the ignore parameters is seen as a 301, does that, and it does a 301, does that cause the owner effect that causes any kind of decay in authority or link juice?
That's a good point. I would say it's likely not, because it's done on Google's site. I'd be surprised if it did.
I would too, but it's interesting that they use that as an example of essentially a 301. So that opens up a whole new can of worms, because 301s do all kinds of different things than you would expect from just ignoring a parameter.
Now, one thing we should just jump into here before we go into the next bit is that as of today, it's now known, this is on search engine land, now known that Google has incorporated page speed into its algorithm. So it's live.
That's fun. And page speed is extremely interesting, and it's going to catch a lot of people off guard. And I haven't read that article yet, so I'm going to go run and read that. But when they say it's live, they're just saying, okay, it's live, or that it's been gradually being adopted, or was it like a switch? Boom, now it's on. Do we know?
It's a quote. To quote Matt McGee, who wrote the article, he says that if you were going to be impacted, you already have. It's been out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
There's the link for you now. It's on the front page right now of Search Engine Land. Now, of course, everyone, just so you know, we are recording this on Friday, so It's probably going to be old news by the time you read this or listen to this, I should say, but it's still good news. I think pay speed is a brilliant idea, and if you got on this soon enough, you certainly had a lot of warning. It's a big improvement. We have at Stepforth, we did some major changes, and we've brought our time way down for page speed, so we're feeling pretty good about that. But
did you see any shift in terms you're trying to rank for when you did that?
Honestly, I haven't looked. And frankly, our site is not optimized very well.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to have to talk to Brasco and get him to edit that part out, Ross. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've been waiting for someone to call me on it.
It's the whole cobbler's kids, the shoes for the cobbler's kids thing.
Yeah. And it's an embarrassingly bad excuse, but it's fact. I've got some business. I'm busy making my clients happy versus my own site. I'm more focused right now on our pitches and stuff, and there's a lot to be done. So, before we move on, first of all, we should talk maybe a bit more about PageSpeed when we get back. We're just going to take a quick break.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
How would you like to not ever have to deal with a gatekeeper again? Can't find the direct contact for the decision maker? Stop calling the main directory. Because now there's Lead Researcher from eGrabber, the one-stop source for finding contact information online. eGrabber finds email addresses or lets you find people with their email address. Just look up a company name and eGrabber gives you a complete list of names, IDs, email addresses, and phone numbers that you need fast. Think of the time that you'll save with Lead Researcher. Learn more about Lead Researcher at www.egrabber.com/WMR.
That's egrabber.com/WMR.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
XYZ Affiliate Marketing. Are you an affiliate? If yes, you'll pay me. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Get paid daily, make a mad dash, sign up as a flash, quickly convert the clicks into cash. Affiliate marketing network is first place. I cut to the chase, it's all performance based. Listen to what I'm telling you, cause this what you better do. Join as a publisher and maximize your revenue. Think we agreed that money is what you need indeed. You can get paid from sales and leads. Not one thing lacking, don't get it cracking. Even comes with state of the art tracking. Where did it start? You can do it a couple ways. 866XY7Page. It's toll free. Tell me what you waiting on. So log on to XY7.com.
Ready to learn to be a mass marketing mastermind? Take some notes from the godfathers of mass distribution. Inbox, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm with John Carcutt, the director of organic search for MediaWiz. I gotta edit all my script here. fancy pants. And myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. We were just discussing some of the Eric Enge interview with Matt Cutts, and we then jumped quickly into the latest news that Google's algorithm, at least in the stateside, I think it's Google.com, has implemented the page speed consideration into its algorithm. So if your site's super load super slow, you're going to start to feel it. Actually, I saw one kind of funny joke on Twitter. Someone saying, "Oh man, the Tribune screwed." Nice. There are some really clunky sites out there. I'm really glad they've done this.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, that it's focusing just on page speed, because I personally believe there's a large chunk of the caffeine is already implemented. And I don't think it's going to be like the Florida update where there was like all of a sudden everything changed. They've been rolling this out gradually for months now, probably since February. And because I'm seeing a lot of shifts in ranking based on content, freshness of content. And I've already started seeing page speed as well, but now this confirms that. Excuse me. It's going to be literally, it won't be long. I'm saying by the end of this month, they're going to declare caffeine is fully active. Somebody will. Maybe Matt will write another article.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of funny that it seems to me like part of their ride over at Google is getting this stuff out there and seeing how many people actually notice it. And they put it out there as subtly as possible so they can finally say, well, we've had it out there a while. Didn't you notice?
Yeah, exactly. That's their new catchphrase. Didn't you notice?
Yeah. Exactly. As long as they don't take it on, as long as it doesn't take on the same stigma that it has for Ask. What, didn't you notice we're here?
Exactly. I actually had a friend. I don't know if everybody knows this, but Google's doing an interface redesign as well for their SERP pages. They're going to actually kind of mirror what Bing is doing. I don't know if you've seen it or not, Ross, but you can go out and look for Google's redesign, and they're going to have a left-hand column of search. So your search results are going to be on the right side of a left-hand column, and you'll still have a right-hand column of ads. So you'll have a column on either side of your search results now. And people have been seeing it. I personally had a friend show up on their site yesterday or the day before. So it's definitely being tested all over the place, and it's going to be interesting when that happens.
Because I must be getting older or something, but I don't like the idea of change.
Nice. Yeah, you're getting older. I always tell people, look, if you're scared of change, there's one thing to think of. You can't get better if you don't change.
Yeah, well, no, there's no doubt about it. And you know what? That is a perfect place for them to do work. I mean, they've got so much space. As long as they don't completely lose sight, that's a huge advantage.
Oh, yeah.
It's clean. It's very clean. So a little more about page speed. There are a ton of tools out there that will help you determine what your site needs to improve on. Pardon me, Google Webmaster Tools gives you a bit of a overview in their labs section of your Google Webmaster Tools account. It's got the site performance report, and it gives you in there a bit of a rundown. But there's also YSlow, a Yahoo widget you can load into your Firefox.
Actually, what it is, YSlow is a site that you can report your stuff to, and what it is Google has created a page speed tool that's really an add-on to Firebug, which is an extension to Firefox. So it's like this big convoluted thing. You have to have Firefox, you have to have Firebug installed, and if you're an SEO, you should have Firebug installed anyway. Great, probably one of my favorite extensions for Firefox. But what Google did is they made a plugin that actually updates Firebug to allow you to do these page speed testings through your Firefox browser.
But it is interesting because there is a Yahoo, there is a YSlow.
And YSlow as well.
Yeah, so they're all for Firebug and to see the differences. But between the two of them, you still get a lot of great tips. Often, the most common issue by far is gzip functionality. Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know what that is, from what I understand, being a layman when it comes to server stuff or close to it, it's essentially like WinZip, like you've got that kind of a zip program to zip files. Well, in this concept, the server zips the file, so it takes that much less time to load. Now, that's page speed in terms of like download time, but they're also talking about, and this is really key, every single piece or image on your page or anything that has to be checked online is anyways, it all takes time because I have to do DNS checks. They have to go to it, get it, come back, go to it, get it, come back. So the less times that happens, the faster your page resolves, which is another major issue.
Yeah, and to that point, something when I was going through the tools, and the great thing about the tool that Google created, when they give you your report card, so they give you like this report card of all these different items they analyzed with their tool, and each one has literally an A through F grade with 65, 70, 90, just like you would back in high school. And you can, when you get this, you can click on each one of these items in the report card, and it takes you to a section on the Google site that explains exactly what that is, why it's important, what you can do to make it better, and why that will help. It's like the most open Google's ever been about anything in their history, I think. It really impressed me. But one of the things I was reading that is like, wow, I didn't even think of that. So when we go through design school and you become a designer, they always tell you, you know, optimize your images, make them as small as you can. And if you have an image that's 16 by 16 pixels, make sure it's 16 by 16 pixels. You don't want to load a 250 by 250 pixel in that same spot, right? Because it's big image in a little spot. You don't need that.
Very common.
Yeah, and that's everybody learned that, and that's the way everybody learned designing. They tell you no. If you're using that 250 by 250 pixel somewhere else on your site and it's going to load anyway, put it in that 16 by 16 spot and size it using style sheets. That way, no matter what, you're always calling one image instead of different size versions of the same image, and you just pick the biggest one, and you load it once, and then you use it everywhere on your site.
I see what the logic is, but I don't see the logic in having, let's say, you had three images on your page, and they're all huge, showed rendered small. That's going to be a load time from hell.
See, it depends. To me, when I hear that, I'm thinking, okay, we're talking graphic elements on your site. We're not talking like a photograph that's enhancing an article. That's going to be a one-off type of thing, and I agree completely. But if you have like a portrait of somebody on your site that's like an author, and on one page it's a 16 by 16 pixel, because in another page it's a 36 by 36 pixel because it's a little bit more emphasized. Load the 36 by 36. You only have to load that once, and it's in your cache. No matter which page you go on your site, no matter which size is being called, it's already in your cache, and you've already loaded it.
Yeah, you know, I see definitely the wisdom in doing that. And you're right. In some cases, like I'm looking at my home page now, thinking that, and think, you know, I've got my logo there, and that's pretty big. Well, anywhere else we show that logo, it would be probably a good idea to have that shrunken if we're ever showing it in a smaller version, because it's already been loaded. In fact, when I did a page speed score for our site, I mean, I know there's stuff we still need to do, but it said leverage browser caching, so there you go. That's probably part of the issue right there. Combining CSS is massive, because each style sheet requires, of course, another DNS lookup, if that's what it's called, a grab, essentially.
server call,
thank you. So that's an issue. Well, I mean, I've seen many sites. Most of my clients' sites have 30, like, not most, the big ones have like obscene amount of CSS. I'm like, how are we going to condense those? I mean, that's just a nightmare.
Yeah, it really would be a nightmare. But it apparently it helps.
Well, anyways, we got a lot to learn. I know our web designers certainly do that we all work with, and they better take a note of this, because compliance should be, will be definitely, and should be now demanding a higher quality page layout in terms of quality, speed. So let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to move on to some of the other points from Matt's discussion.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
This is a test of the PRWeb content and news delivery system from PRWeb and PRWebAuthor.com. If this was a real release date, your story would reach more than 30,000 journalists, 250,000 RSS subscribers, and just over 30,000 unique websites. PRWeb can reach your target audience online, drive traffic to your website, achieve high rankings on search engines, and get your content on top news sites like Yahoo News. Editors are available 24/7 to help you optimize your content for maximum exposure to over 70 million people in the U.S. alone. If this were a real PRWeb release date, your website would have so much traffic, you'd be tempted to duck and cover. If you have an online marketing emergency, go to PRWebOffer.com for 25% off. PRWeb, the premier online news release and content distribution service.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Anyway, I ask?
That's right, ma'am. Anyway, you ask.
Let me get this straight. If I wanted your CEO to deliver my check while juggling flaming machetes on the back of an Asian elephant, all I have to do is ask?
Correct.
With in-demand affiliates, you can tell us exactly how you want your payouts, and we will deliver.
God, could you hold on for a second? Someone's at the door. Wow, you aren't kidding.
We are in demand. You can be too. Sign up today at the letter ndemandaffiliates.com.
Search for solutions. Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm with John Carcutt, Director of Organic Search for Media. Sorry, I keep doing that.
Why is that funny?
and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. I'm just getting used to it.
Yeah, see, I didn't laugh when you said CEO, but I'm going to start if you keep this up.
fair enough. Okay, so we were just talking about page speed, and honestly, it's going to come up a lot more over the next few shows, I'm sure, because there's going to be more and more info about it as it comes out, and it's frankly very cool. I'm very happy with it and excited to get everyone's sites that much better. So do you want to take the next bit there?
Actually, I was going to ask you to take that because I didn't read that part of the article. I was hoping you'd explain it to me.
Sure. Well, first of all, I was hoping you'd be able to explain what the GET process is, because I know that's something you've talked about. Like, you've actually mentioned a GET process before, haven't you?
I think that we're talking about something a bit different here. Let's explain what the question is so everybody understands what we're talking about first.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Google prefers the quote-unquote GET process versus the HEAD process to determine how fresh content is. Now, before you've mentioned the GET, conditional GET, right?
Conditional GET, yes. So what that is, that's a setting on your server that allows the engines. So the default most of the times in conditional GET is the turns off. So if you turn conditional GET on your server, the bots can hit a page and look and see when the last time that page was updated. So it'll get the exact time and date. And the next time it comes by, if that time and date has not changed, it'll just keep on going to the next page and it won't take the time to dig into that page deeper. It speeds up the process. It allows if you don't have a lot of pages changing, but you have a very deep site, it allows the bots to get deeper into your site because they can bypass some pages and get to something they might not have already seen. So that's a conditional GET. There is an issue with conditional GET if you're on a shared hosting environment, because a lot of hosts that do the shared hosting, for some reason or another, they're either don't want to take the time to switch that over, or if one person requests it, they don't know how it's going to impact the other one, so they don't do it. It's much easier if you have your own machine on your own for your own sites to do that.
Yeah, and I think we don't need to spend much more time on that. It was really quite technical. I just thought I'd write it down. But the point was that it seemed obvious that Google should just download the page and find out when it was last changed, that kind of stuff. But that's what they were saying. That the problem is, by doing that, it was requiring more server requests, which is just not worth their time because, of course, they're checking how many billions of pages. It's ridiculous. So the conditional GET is the best way to go, is essentially what they were getting at. The next bit, do you want to take that? We'll try and whip these off.
All right, yeah, definitely. So I'm sure everybody understands what PR sculpting is. And if you don't, basically that's the idea of using nofollows within your site to direct PR to specific pages and to block it from other pages. So if you have if you have so much juice on a page, you want it to go to important pages, not pages you don't care about. So you block it for some and open it up for others. That's PR sculpting. Matt, in this interview, pretty much came close to calling that a spammy technique because of the fact that it leads the bots in different directions than the users can go.
Yeah.
So I
thought it was just funny. I mostly put it in there as funny. And I think we noted it again last time that it was just ironic because there was a time when Matt was saying it wasn't such a bad thing. He always did agree that it was, you know, there's other things that are more important in defense of Matt, but it's still, it's pretty funny how things have turned.
And I don't think they're going to take the time to apply any kind of filters or spams. If I follow links to my, you know, contact form because I don't want to send juice there, they're not going to penalize me. They're not going to penalize you for doing some of it. I think maybe what he's talking about is people that go totally over the wall and this kind of thing. And, you know, every link on a page except two are no followed because we want all the juice going to these two, that kind of thing, even though there's other navigation points that should be getting the flow as well. But no, we only want these two navigations because these are our primary target markets, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
maybe he's talking about that.
I should qualify. He wasn't saying it spammy in terms of a penalty, just that as a practice, it seems quite spammy. I thought that was a riot.
Yeah, but if Matt says the word spam, in his position,
I guess
you got to think, okay, if he's calling it spam, then there's a culture that he's developed in his area that means, okay, it's probably being looked at as spam. But again, this was kind of vague.
Very vague, and I would be very surprised if it's actionable spam. I think it's just sort of like, what a silly technique kind of thing is the way they're looking at it. Who knows? It was very intriguing. Another thing is PDF files. We're running out of time here, but PDF files are important. They absolutely do process them. But interestingly, and I put this in bold because I thought it was interesting, he actually prefaced this, said, but I'm not going to talk about whether links in PDF files pass PageRank. Now, why would he say that? I mean, he wasn't even prompted. I'm not going to talk about whether links in PDF files pass PageRank.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't take one of your French fries. No.
Yeah. Guilty conscience?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something fishy going on there. So that's something for everyone that I thought was intriguing that I took out of that interview. And last one. Why don't you take the last one here and we'll lead to others, I guess, for or take one of the three.
Well, get your pick. Is that right? Okay. What is it?
Yeah, because you're director.
Oh, thanks. I'm going to direct us to number. I have to read them there real quick.
The also one's kind of
interesting. Yeah. Let's talk about number three, the also one. So he's talking about. I'm sure everybody understands that you can go in and you can report spam. And they recently, in the past few months, actually talked about specifically reporting link spam. And he said in this interview, quote, we might put out a call for people to report more about link spam in the coming months. We have some new tools and technology coming online with ways to tackle that. And it's interesting to me because I've been seeing in the past couple months a lot of talk and chatter about a specific company that buys and sells links. That's very open about the fact that they buy and sell links. People talk about them being targeted specifically. And that hasn't happened in a while. I mean, they've been focusing on a lot of other things, but the buying of links and the link spam thing is coming back around, I think, in the cycle as being something that's going to get looked at harder soon.
Yeah, I agree. And it's pretty much they want you to tell on your friends. Which is not such a cool thing, but anyway, they should be able to figure it out themselves.
And telling your competitors and telling the people that are above you in the search engine rankings. And
yeah, it just sounds like a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's the end of the show. Thanks a lot, John. Always fun.
Before we close, can we talk – I just want to mention Rhea Drysdale real quick. And people have probably already read about it, but if you haven't, I know we're running out of time, but this deserves a couple minutes of our time. Rhea Drysdale recently was able to pretty much save our entire industry from the fact that somebody was trying to trademark the term SEO. And she spent $10,000-$14,000 of her own money. I mean, this is an independent contractor working out of her house, could have bought a new car, but spent this money to protect the SEO term from being trademarked by some other company so none of us could use it without their permission. And I mean, if you go to her site, Outspoken Media, on their blog, she has the whole story down there about the post is SEO trademark application terminated. I really think everybody who's listening should go read that and see what Rita did for us without any asking for help or wanting money or donations. I mean, people have talked her into taking donations. I know I've given the donation if you feel free, but I really recommend you read that and then thank her because she deserves thanks from every one of us.
Totally agree. And you know, we had it there on the list there. I think we should spend a little more time again just mentioning that next time to thank her. And, you know, so it's not sort of the last thing we know because I know people might have already left the show here. But it's definitely important. And thanks from everyone for that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. She's a popular lady now.
Yes.
Even more so.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. And just so everyone knows, every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, SEO 101 airs on webmasterradio.fm, either live or recorded. And but you can listen to it live. And we look forward to any questions you could send in to us at Ross Dunn is my Twitter address, and yours is?
John Carcutt. Two T's. Okay.
Two T's. Two T's. Are you going to change it to Director John Carcutt?
No, I don't think so.
Sorry. That's the last time. That's it.
Okay.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye, all.